Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now Masechet Bechorot Daf Yod Amud Bet, near the top of the Amud. Continuing with our investigation of whether or not Rabbi Shimon, who maintains that Petach Hamor is Mutar Bahana'a, but would agree that if it were not redeemed and instead its neck were broken, if at that point it would be Asur Bahana'a, as Rava claimed, or if that's not the case. We had one proof and we dismissed it outright. And so now we will come to another, and this will be indeed a challenge. Etive. Lo ratza liftoto. If you don't want to redeem it, then orfo b'kofitz me'achoravikovro. You take a meat cleaver, and you break its neck from the back, and you immediately bury it. Ve'asur b'hana'ad ivir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon matir. And that seems to be very straightforward, that Rabbi Shimon says there's no isur hana'ah even after killing it. So eima o'michayim asur b'hana'ah. So perhaps the machloka Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon is about before killing it. Rabbi Shimon Matir. V'havin Seifa Michaim Have. We know that Rabbi Shimon is Matir before death. We've already got clear. V'havin Seifa Michaim Have. But since the next clause is about what its status is during life, Reishalav Michaim. So this clause has to be after death, after it's killed. How do we know that? Let's look at the Seifa. Diktani Seifa. Lo Yimitenu Lo Bekanev Lo Magav Lo Bekardom Lo Mgeira. You can't use a stick or a scythe or an axe or a saw. You can't stick him in a room and just lock him up because he'll die of hunger. In other words, you have to kill him with the cleaver. And there is an isur of shearing out of working it, just like anything else. And that's talking about while it's alive, obviously. Rabbi Shimon Matir. So you see that this second half of the Braita is about its status while alive, which means the first dispute has to be after you killed it. So the answer, Reisha v'Seif Mechaim, the whole thing could be about while it's alive. Reisha v'Hanatamav, the Reisha is about selling it or getting benefit from it. Seif v'Banat Gufo, the Seif is actually benefiting from its body, like its hair, its wool. Hey, wool, as it were. Utsmicha, why do we need the machloket in both cases? To eat on Hanatamav, if we had only the first dispute, which is about its value, Be'ahu Kashar Rabbi Shimon. Maybe Rabbi Shimon says it's mutar there, because it's secondary, meaning that it worked and you got some benefit from it. About hat gufo, ema moda Rabbi Yehuda, if you're actually benefiting from the body, maybe he'd agree with Rabbi Yehuda while it's alive. Itar hat gufo, ma'ikamaras Rabbi Yehuda, babanat atzmav, tamav, ema moda Rabbi Shimon, tzricha, just flip the tzrichut around. Now, v'chein amar Nachman Ravua, moda Rabbi Shimon lachar rifa shu asur, which means we're still sticking with our position that Rabbi Shimon says after killing it, it is Asur Bahana, in spite of the fact that both proofs we tried to bring to support that got knocked down, and this last challenge was pretty strong, although we did answer it. We're saying that Rabbi Bar Avua, who's quoted by Rabbi Nachman, says that Rabbi Shimon agrees that after Rifa, it's Asur Bahana. What's his proof to Tanya? The Torah says that if you don't redeem it, you have to break its neck. And it says that about the Aglarufa, Malan Asur of Kanasur. Just like there, when you break the calf's neck from the back, it is Asur Bahana'a. Same thing here. So now, Mani, who is it that would make that equation? In other words, Rabbi Nachman is quoting a Braita. Who could be the author of the Braita? Either Yehuda Mechaim Maser Asur. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's even Asur while it's alive. So he doesn't need to teach that it's alive, that it's Asur after Arifa. Allah Rabbi Shimon, it must be Rabbi Shimon, who says it's Mutar when it's alive, but would say that because of Arifa, it is Asur after being killed. Now, Amar Rav Sheshet, that's Rabbi Nachman's proof. Rav Sheshet turned to him and said, Safra Chavrich Targuma. He said, really, you should interpret it this way, Le'olam Rabbi Yehuda. That really, that statement is Rabbi Yehuda. V'itztarich. And why do we need, therefore? Because his challenge was, it can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because why would Rabbi Yehuda have to teach that after death it's Asur, if he says even while it's alive it's Asur? The answer is V'itztarich. It's not so obvious. I might think that breaking the bat, its neck, is like redeeming it. So, Ma'pidiyam Ateret, Afarifam Ateret. So, Rabbi Yehuda, who said, and this we're going to, it's sort of an inverted direction, because we're talking about Rabbi Shimon, who says Michaim it's mutar right now after Arif it's asur, but the reasoning actually goes the opposite way. That is, while it's alive it's asur, but once you break its neck it's like its redemption, it's had its process done to it, and therefore mapdi amateret af Arif amateret. So kamash malan, therefore Rabbi Yehuda would have to also say after you break its neck it's asur bahana'a, and the whole thing could be Rabbi Yehuda, and you do not have a proof that Rabbi Shimon says it's asur afterwards. Nachman Manami Nalas, so I'll bring you another proof that Rabbi Shimon says after Rifat Asur. And the Tani Levi. Levi has the following braita. Who hifsid mamuno shall go in the fichach yufsad mamuno. Since this guy refused to give what is his due to the Kohen, which is the Petach Hamor, therefore he loses his money. Now, Ilmani, who could be the author of that statement? Ilem Rabbi Yehuda, Hamifsad Bekoi. What do you mean? He didn't lose anything. We didn't take anything away from him. He never had it. Because if it's always Asur Bana'a, he never had really access to it. Allah, Rabbi Shimon, there must be Rabbi Shimon who said beforehand you had access to it. Now we took it away. So that would seem to prove that Rabbi Shimon says, once you kill it, you lose Hana'a, which is the Torah's taking any benefit away from you because you did the wrong thing. No, Ibaitem Rabbi Yehuda, Ibaitem Rabbi Shimon. That could be Rabbi Yehuda, could be Rabbi Shimon. Ibaitem Rabbi Yehuda, Afside de Beni Beni. Because what happens here is, you originally only were going to lose the value of a lamb. Now that you refused to do it, you lost everything. And because Rabbi Yehuda says, Asur Bana'at. Ibaitem Rabbi Shimon, could be Rabbi Shimon, Lefchat Mita. Because of maybe Rabbi Shimon would say it's mutar bahana'a, but you still lost that, the loss in value, which is great, between a living donkey and a dead donkey. The Torah said you have to kill it. Maybe because they'll benefit from it, but it's a lot less benefit. In other words, in spite of the fact that we keep, every proof that we bring gets knocked down, we bring some challenges to this idea, Chacham after Chacham seems to indicate that Rabbi Shimon agrees after Rifat Asur. But Rish Lakish is challenged by one of his contemporaries, either his teacher Rabbi Yochanan or his colleague Rabbi Lazar, who says that Adayin Himachloket, that the same Machloket Rabbi Yehuda Shimon had, Mechayim, exists after killing it. Now, some people learn that the statement of Rav Nachman that we just had is a comment not on our Mishnah but on this one, which is a Mishnah in the second parak of Kiddushin. Hamakadesh petach hamor einam kudeshet. We have a Mishnah that says that if a man has a petach hamor and he gives it to a woman as kiddushin, einam kudeshet. We discussed earlier about Rabbi Yehuda's role in that b'mezid. Leimanitin lo Rabbi Shimon. We should say that that does not follow Rabbi Shimon, because after all, Rabbi Shimon says mutar b'hanam. Rav Nachman avual acharif of a divrei hakol. Rav Nachman says no. It's talking from everybody's position. And after you killed it, everybody will agree that there is no hana'at. Now, ikadam rehamani, lo Rabbi Shimon. There's some people who look at that Mishnah and says it couldn't be anybody. Why? I Rabbi Shimon, tiktish pahule. According to Rabbi Shimon, she should be absolutely mekudeshet with the petach hamor. I Rabbi Yehuda, tiktish pahakta beni beni. According to Rabbi Yehuda, she should at least be able to be mitkadesh with whatever the difference in value is between the living donkey and the seh that she would have to use to redeem it. Amarav, the old Rabbi Yehuda, that Mishnah's Rabbi Yehuda, hungon she'eno shaveh l'shekel. Let's say that your donkey wasn't worth anything. It was worth only a shekel. V'savar lak Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, d'tana tifteh tipa tifteh. We have the phrase twice. You have to redeem. Tifteh miyad. This is about the Petach Hamor. You have to do it immediately, not 30 days, like you wait for a person. And tifteh kol shehu, meaning no matter how little it's worth, you have to use it. Sorry, you can redeem for with a seh worth anything. He says the smallest thing of p'tiyah, redemption in the Torah, is a shekel, which means you have to use at least a seh worth a shekel, which means if you have a chamor that right now is worth a shekel, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be an even trade-out, there is no value, which means according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you gave a woman that kind of a chamor that's worth that little, then in effect it's worth nothing, according to Yosef Yehuda, because the cheapest thing you could use to redeem it is worth its value. So there is no added value here. Now, Amar Mar, let's take a look at that last braita. Tifteh, tifteh miyah, tifteh kol shu, pshita. It's obvious that you don't, that the value is not important. And if I go back to the miyad issue, it should be obvious. The answer is no, because we have the pasuk, which we used earlier in the Masachet to explain why the Levim, who are Chayiv and Bechor Beimat Torah, are Pontif Madam and Bechor Beimat Me'ah. So the comparison is for something else. Ma Bechor Adam Achar Shloshim Uvechamesh, meaning you have to wait till it's 30 days old and use a set amount of 5 slaim. Hainami achar shloshim v'chamesh. So maybe b'chor behemat me'az also, you have to wait till it's 30 days old and pay 5 slaim. Kamash Malan, the Tifteh Miyah, Tifteh Kolshu, which means you redeem immediately, don't wait 30 days, and you use whatever little amount you have, however cheap the set is. He says the smallest pediyah that we have anywhere in the Torah is a shekel, and therefore we have to use that as the model and indicate that here. Let's think about this. If he agrees that there's a hekesh to Bechor Adam, which was the havamin of the other position, so chamishlibi, he shouldn't accept one, he should say you need five. But if he doesn't accept that comparison, then shekel manale, why does he think there's a shekel? It could be any amount. See, as the Olam Lomakish, you knew that he couldn't compare it. Amar Rava, Amar Kra, where does it come from? B'chol Ekercha Yev Eshek LaKodesh. When talking about Arachim, the set values of people, that when a person says, I'm going to give the value of that person, there's a set amount. We'll deal with that, of course, in Masachat Arachim. It says, B'chol Ekercha Yev Eshek LaKodesh, meaning, Kol Arachim Shatam Arich Lo Yu Pchutin Mishekel. Shekel is the bottom amount. Right? That's Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's position. Rabbanan. So what do the Rabbanan do with that pasuk? Hahu behesag yagtiv. That's just saying that when a person cannot pay the full amount and the Kohanim estimate what he can pay, so they make sure that it has to be b'shekel HaKodesh. Rav Nachman, halacha k'divrei chachamim. We pass like chachamim that the redemption could be for any amount and you don't need a shekel. V'chama. So how much does it have to be? So Rav Yosef, filu patroza bardanka, even a tiny little emaciated goat worth nothing, with a little coin. Really, really nothing. Amarava af ananamitanina gadol v'katan. Our Mishnah said you could use a big one, a small one, any size. Tamim, balmum, zepshita. So maudetem amili kule high low. I might think gadol v'katan means within a certain range, but not that little, not that emaciated, not that cheap. Inayim patruza low. Or maybe this kind of very emaciated goat doesn't work. Kamashvalan, even that works. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya havi lepetor chamor. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who was the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and was the head of the Sanhedrin at the time that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan were at their height, as it were. So they were really the poskim. But he was the head of the Sanhedrin. He had a petor chamor, shadre the kamid Rabbi Tarfon. That's why this word Rabbi Tarfon here is very difficult in the text, because Rabbi Tarfon lived 200 years beforehand. So it must be somebody else. Amar le kama b'inu the mate of the Kohen. So he asked, how much do I have to give to the Kohen? Amar le hare amru ayin yafa b'sela ayin ra'a b'shekel b'inonit b'ragya. So he says, somebody who wants to give something nice will give a sela. So it's kind of cheap, we'll give a shekel, which is a quarter of that. And Beinonit is going to give a ragia, which is halfway between them. So Amarava Hilchata Baragia. That's the halacha. Bechama, how much is that? Tlata Zuze. That's three. In other words, two zuz is a shekel, four zuz is a sela. Sorry, I misrepresented. And three of them is a ragia. Ragil hacha v'ragil hacha. Means it's like one leg to the sela, one leg to the shekel. Okay, kasha hilchata hilchata. So we now have a challenge because you said alacha kachacham, which means there's no bottom amount, and now you just gave a shear. So log lo kasha kan bali malech kan baosem yatzmo. If the guy comes to ask, you tell him a ragia. But if he doesn't ask, he does it on his own, and the smallest amount is okay. Amar b'itzchak amar ish lakish. Call me mishish lo petach amar ve'in lo se liftoto. That's the guy who has a donkey. He doesn't have any lambs. Podeo b'shovyo. He can give money or something else, which is the value of the donkey, which means the only time we talk about a lamb is when we when to have it be for less than its value. Now, Laman, who does this follow? Elam Rabbi Yehuda Hamar Hipira Alav Torah Baseh. According to the reasoning that we used when we in the previous podcast, and why? What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason for saying Asur Banai? He says, because do you have anything else where the Torah is Makpid on a Seh? And certainly it's Asur Banai. So you see that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be a said. There is no such thing as saying, well, use something else. El Rabbi Shimon. It must be Rabbi Shimon. Rav Acha mat nihachi. That was Rav Acha's version. And Ravina kashale. And Ravina asked the following question. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, alachak Rabbi Yehuda. Vesatam lantanak Rabbi Yehuda. Vesatam lantanak Rabbi Shimon. So he said, it doesn't make sense. Well, first of all, whenever Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon have a machloket, the rule is the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. It's a sugin gittin that goes through ranking the chacham of that generation. And we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, and you're telling me that Halacha is Rabbi Shimon, which is that you could use something else to pay off. In other words, Rabbi Reish Lakish, quoted by Rabbi Yitzchak, says if you don't have a say, you could use something else, which only follows Rabbi Shimon. How could you ignore Rabbi Yehuda? Ela afilu tem Rabbi Yehuda. We have to say that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree with this piece. Lo yehe chamor min hektesh. You can't say that Petah Chamor is more serious than hektesh. In other words, hekdesh you're allowed to redeem with anything as long as it's its value plus the fifth. So it's got to be the same thing here. You can redeem it with its value. The whole reason the Torah instituted a seh was to make it easy for you and get away with much less, because a seh is worth less than a peter chamor. Narachman b'Rei Rav Yosef, parik le b'shilki b'shovyo. We had this earlier. Rav Nachman, a different Rav Nachman, the son of Rav Yosef, would redeem his peter chamor with a bunch of grass that came up to the value of the peter chamor. Meaning, if it's not a set, it's got to be a value. She's via marvuna. Habodeh petach hamor shel chavero pidyono padui. If you go ahead and redeem somebody else's one, it works. So you buy a pidyon la podeh or dim pidyon la balim. Who gets the donkey now? Because does it go now to the guy who gave the set, or does it go back to the owner? Halibur of Shimon loti buy a clear corner of Shimon came and damar mutar banam and one of the balim who. Right? The corner of Shimon, it's a no-brainer, because since it's mutar b'hana'ah, it belongs to the bayim, it belongs to the owners. And so obviously you can't take it away from them just by donating a set. The only question is the corner of Yudah, that asur b'hana'ah, the hekdesh medamile, is it like hekdesh? Whoever redeems something from hekdesh, they get to keep it. You're buying it from the gizbar. So according to Yehuda, should we consider the petach hamor to be like hekdesh? And therefore, if you give the set, you've bought the petach hamor. The chamor odilma came into kanim hu beveni beni, but because peta chamor has a halacha of redeeming for something far less than its value, even according to Rehuda, the owner still has a stake in the differential between the value of the peta chamor and the value of a set and the value of the set that gets used. So lo dom hekdesh, therefore it's not like hekdesh, and it belongs to the baalim, and you did a nice thing and gave up a set for him. So which is Rachman toshma hagonev peta chamor shachavero? If you steal peta chamor, you have to pay the owner's kefal. And even though the guy doesn't have any ownership in the petach hamor now, he'll have it later, meaning when he redeems it. So this can't be according to Bishimon, because even now he has ownership. It's mutar b'hana'at. Abshit Rabbi Yehuda. It's like Rabbi Yehuda. The hekdesh and the hekdesh medamin alein. If you think Rabbi Yehuda says that it's fully like hekdesh, there is no kefil if you steal from hekdesh. It's only if you steal from private citizen. Betulo midi, which means that's the end of the argument. That proves that Rabbi Yehuda, who has to be the author here, who agrees that you still have ownership of the thing. It's not like hekdesh. You have ownership because there's an interest in the difference between that and the set, and therefore the donkey goes back to the original owner, and this outsider who gave the seh did a nice thing, and maybe the owner should give him something for his efforts. Okay, back in the Mishnah, achat bichra v'achat shelo bichra. So we said if you have one animal that had its firstborn and one that didn't yet have its firstborn, and then you find, for instance, two zacharim, so one goes to the Kohen, one zachar, one to the Kivah, neither goes to the Kohen, etc. Tan Rabbanan, ketzar munichas l'dili taser. Now, when the Mishnah at the end, it said that the seh goes into the corral to be included. So when I presented the Mishnah in the last podcast, I already mentioned that this has to be a case where the seh is still with the Yisrael. So let's say, Yatai Cholamar Vavalide Yad Kohen. It can't be that the Kohen has it, Shareh Shanino Halakuach, Vishdana Matana, Patu Maser Behema. We have a general halacha, we saw this at the end of Masechet Chulin, that when you buy an animal, it doesn't go into the corral for Maser Behema, or if you got it as a present. So the Kohen would not include it. Ella be Yisrael, so it must be Yisrael, so how would he still have it? Chayulo asaras fake pitre chamorim betok beito. He must have had 10 donkeys, all of which were safek. So what happened? Mafishal in asaras seyin, umasran vein shalo. So what happens? He takes 10 different seyim, says each one of these is for that safek, for that safek, for that safek. And then he's got 10 there, so he does a maser. And then one of them is Maser Behema, and he has to deal with it as Maser Behema. Messiah Gamliel, the Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman Rav Huwa, Yisrael, Shayilu Asaras Fake Pitrei Chamorim, Afrishalin, Esarasin, Masran Vein Shalom. That's exactly the ruling that he gave. Rav Nachman Rav Huwa, Yisrael, Shayilu Asar Pitrei Chamorim, Vadaim Betok Beto. Let's say you have 10 certain Pitrei Chamor. Shnaflum Beit Avi Imo Kohen. However, he got them already born from his maternal grandfather who was a Kohen. And so now there's 4 generations here. The great-great-great-great-grandfather was Yisrael. His daughter married a Kohen. And that Kohen had a son. So that guy's a Kohen. That Kohen's daughter married a Yisrael, and this guy is the heir of to his mother. And the donkeys were born in great-great-grandfather's property, possession. So what happened? So what does he do? He has to separate 10 seyin for these pitre chamor. They have to be redeemed. And then he is ma'aser them, and he gets to keep them. So let's see why. Because we're going to see a parallel case. Let's say you had tevel and it was already piled up in your granary, so you have to take ma'aser. Shaflulom beit avi imo kohen. But they fell to him from his maternal grandfather, who's a kohen. Voto avi imo kohen, aflulom beit avi imo mi Yisrael. Me'asoyen min shalom, what does he do? He separates the ma'asor, but he gets to keep them. In other words, what happens here is as follows. Since the original owner was Yisrael, he had an obligation to give them to a kohen. But he died before he was able to do it, and it fell to his grandson, who was a kohen. And so these things did have to be redeemed, or in this case, the trumot had to be taken. But since they were already in the possession of a Kohen, therefore they didn't have to be given away, but they just had to be separated. When they fell now to the grandson through the daughter, who's a Yisrael, he also inherited the rights to keep them. And that happens in both cases of Maaser Beima and Tevel, and now we have to find out why both cases are needed to be taught. Utsricha, Diashmin and Kamaita, if we only had the first case of Petach Hamor, Shemdekamar Marfrish Fakai. That's because he's already separated out the pitre chamorim. Aval hacha matanos the ramu kumishal ramu damin. But here with the tevel, before you've separated it, it hasn't been separated, which means the guy just got tevel. So he doesn't have a zchut of ownership in truma because truma doesn't exist yet. Aim alo. V'yashmin and hacha, if we had the case of tevel, we'd say the efshar la surei mine obey because you could be maaseret within itself. You don't need some outside fruit. The hamanach, it's all sitting there. Aval hatam came and sent me alma boya to your africh v'kai. You have to bring a seh from somewhere else in order to separate it or to redeem it. Emalo tzricha. Okay, I'm a shmon bar natan amar machanina halokeach tevalim murachin min ha'oved kochavim. So let's say you buy tevel that's already piled up from a non-Jew. Me'asran v'hein shalo. Now, let's find out about this. Marchinu man, who piled them up? Who did the act? Either with the Marchinu goy, if the goy did it, Gancha Marachmana, the Torah says, Reshit to Gancha, the beginning of your corn. Means it has to be something that you put together and piled up. Ella, the Marchinu Yisrael, Meshut goy. It must be that the goy, when he owned it, had a Yisrael do the piling up, which means it was Chayav because it was the Gancha. And then when the Israel buys it from him, he has to then separate it, but he gets to keep it. Me'asran, why the inkin of the goy bear Yisrael, afgem yad ma'aser. There's a complex machloket in Peah and in Tmai and in Gittin and several other places, Peah and Tmai and the Mishnayot, and Perish Mishnayot to the Rambam there, and in Sugya the Kitin, about the status of a non-Jew owning land in Eretz Yisrael, and whether or not it makes it non-Eretz Yisrael for Trumot Ma'aserot. So if we say he does not have such a kinyan, then that means this stuff is essentially chayav and trumot ma'aserot. And then when the Jew is the one to do the meruah hakri, then it becomes fully chayav. V'hein shalo. So why does the Jew get to keep it, not give it to the kohen? Da'amar lei ka'atinu mikoach gavru lo matzi da'ishtoi din avadei. Because the Jew will say to the kohen, I am coming empowered, as it were, by a fellow that you could never take the din, which is the goy. So therefore, I have his rights to keep this stuff. Alright, let's see. Tanana tamam, avki perotav itzal akuti v'itzal amaretz. If you give your perot to akuti, a Samaritan, or an amaretz, a Jew is not careful with these things, b'chezketan l'maser v'lishvit, we assume that he's not going to swap them for his own fruit, and therefore, if they were mu'usar, you could take them back mu'usar. If they were shmita fruit, being kept properly, you can assume they're still being kept properly. But itzal agoy ka perotav, but if you give them to a goy, when he gives them back, you have to relate to him as if it's his own perot, meaning we're concerned that he may swap them. And therefore, if you have them already fixed for Masrot, when the ones you get back, you can't rely are the same ones. Rishimon Omer Tmai, he says, don't treat them like Perot Agoy Vadai, but rather Tmai. Amar Lazar, La Frish, Kulei Amalo Peligi, Rishimon and Chacham agree, you have to be Mafrish, Trumotu Masrot, Ki Peligi Linan LaKohen. The Machloket is whether or not it goes to the Kohen, which is all falling in after the theme of our entire two Mishnayot, about being mafri something but not giving to the coin. Tanakama savra vadai chalfinu. So Tanakama's position is for sure the goy has separated it. It means this stuff is absolutely tevel. Uvayim in the inner of the coin. You have to give it to the coin. Shem Zavar Demai, but Shimon says maybe he did. And therefore you the Mosul Ravai, you don't have to give it to him. Yatov Dim Kamar Lahashmat of Dimi repeated this in Pumbedita, this whole back and forth. He said, Tama Dumasaf Kolani Chalfinu Lo Chalfinu. The only reason you think so, think that we don't force it to give it to the Kohen is because we're not sure if he swapped it. Havade Chalfinu the Kulan Alma by the Mitnino the Kohen. So you're gonna tell me the Mitvino the Kohen that if we knew that the guy had swapped them, that for sure everybody would agree you have to give it to the Kohen, and Rav Shimon just saying we don't know that he swapped them. Here we have a case where you buy tvalim that are from a non-Jew, and they're already piled up. You take masrot, and you get to keep them. So you see that even though it was his own stuff, you don't have to give it to the Kohen in any case, even if you saw that he swapped it. So now, Dilma kam the truma gdola, kam the truma maser. So he said, now, maybe we're talking about truma gdola, which you do not have to give, as opposed to trumat maser, which you would have to give. And as truma gdola would be the machloket about whether or not you would have to give it, but everybody would agree, and that's this last case, masan rein shelo, but about trumat maser. Okay, so he said, as dachrotan milta, so he said, oh, that reminded me of something Dom Rishum and Levi. Minan lokech tvalim murachim na agoy, shehu patur mitrumat maser, which of course fits this now. If you buy tvalim murachim from a goy, you don't have to separate trumat maser, and there's no isur there. Why? Shenemar v'alvim tadaber v'antalem ki tichum ebin Yisrael et maser v'amitam menu maser min maser. So you Levim, when you get your maser, you have to separate one tenth from that. When you get it from Bnei Yisrael, you have to separate it and give it to the Kohen. Because it's not from Bnei Yisrael, you're getting it from a Goy. And therefore, there is no Din of Masrot. And if there's no Din of Masrot, there's no Din of Trumat Maser. So looking back, we would say, when do we have the Brayta that says, even if we know he swapped it, meaning when you bought it from him, you don't have to separate. That's talking about separating Trumat Maser. And that's based on this. When is the machlokot of Mishnah Chacham about truma gedola? Okay, the last part is the Mishnah said that if the sad dies, you can get hanah from it. Tamid hecha, where did it die? Ilema tamid be kohen v'nena ba kohen. So it was you gave the sad to the kohen, and then it died, and he got hanah pshita. So monadideu, it's his stuff, it's his money. Al demit be balim. It must have been that it died in the house of the fellow who's using it to be podet. But in that coin, and then the coin got hano. And obviously, that's also no brainer. The answer is no. Sagadach minakol kamer lamata yaday lo zachabe. Maybe the coin doesn't have any rights to it before it came to him. Kamash malan to be ina da afreshe brishutei the coin kaiv. The minute you separate it, it already doesn't belong to. It belongs to the coin, and therefore he may get hana from it. And that is what the line in the Mishnah is. Okay, we'll pick it up with our final podcast in the Parak. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.